The morning was cool, shrouded in a thick, ground-hugging fog, the air ripe with the damp scents of South Florida. I stood on the patio of the little guest house I lived in and breathed deeply. I had come to this farm a refugee, jobless, homeless, a pariah in my chosen profession. I had been off the job 2 years, most of that time spent in and out of hospitals, as doctors repaired the damage done to my body that day at the Gollum Brothers trailer. 3 months ago, I had answered an ad in Sidelines, a locally based bi-weekly magazine for the horse industry. Groom wanted. Life is strange. The phone number in the ad belonged to Sean Avedon. I'd known Sean 100 years ago in my riding days, when I was a spoiled, sulky Palm Beach teenager, and he was a spoiled, outrageous 20-something, spending his trust fund on horses and mad flings with pretty young men from Sweden and Germany. We had been friends, Sean always telling me I needed him to be my surrogate sense of humor and fashion. Our families lived a couple of mansions down from one another on the Lake Worth side of the narrow island. Sean's father, a real estate magnate, mine, an attorney to the wealthiest crooks in South Florida. The slumlord and the shyster, each of them sire to ungrateful offspring. Sean and I had bonded in parental disdain and our love for horses. Wild child times two. Then I answered that ad, groom wanted. I didn't get the job. Instead, Sean took me in like a stray cat, a recurring theme in my life. He put me in his guest house and asked that I work a couple of his horses for the winter season. The time had passed. My daily ritual for the past 3 months was the routine of Sean's barn and time spent with his horses. Riding was my refuge as a teenager, when I felt I had little control over any other aspect of my life. It was my stress release when I had a career. It had become my salvation when I had nothing else. Now D'Artagnan and I moved through the last wisps of the morning ground fog, the horse's muscles bulging and rolling, his hooves striking the ground in perfect metronome rhythm. When we stopped, I dropped the reins on his neck and patted him. He lowered his head and started to walk forward, then stopped and came to attention. A girl sat on the white board fence that ran along the road. She watched me with a sense of expectation about her. Even though I hadn't noticed her, I could tell she'd been there, waiting. I judged her to be about 12. Her hair was long and brown, perfectly straight, and neatly held back from her face with a barrette on each side. She wore little round black-rimmed glasses that made her look very serious. I rode toward her with a vague feeling of apprehension that made no sense at the time. "Can I help you?" I asked. Dar blew through his nostrils at her, ready to bolt and save us from the intruder. I should have let him. "I'm here to see Ms. Elena Estes," she said properly, as if she'd come on business. "And you are Molly Seabright." "Well, Molly Seabright, Ms. Estes isn't here at the moment." "You're Miss Estes," she declared. "I recognize your horse. His name is D'Artagnan, like in The Three Musketeers." She narrowed her eyes in disapproval. "You cut your hair." "Do I know you?" "No." "Then how do you know me?" I asked, the apprehension rising up like bile through my chest to the base of my throat. "From Sidelines," she said. I felt like I'd walked into the middle of a play. Molly Seabright took pity on me and carefully climbed down from the fence. She came up along D'Artagnan's shoulder and carefully held the magazine out to me, folded open to an interior page. The photograph was in color, me on Dar, my hair pulled back in a thick ponytail. The caption read, "Private investigator Elena Estes enjoys an early morning ride on D'Artagnan at Sean Avedon's Avedonis Farm in Palm Beach Point Estates." "I've come to hire you," Molly Seabright said.